On this feast of the Transfiguration, the Church encourages us to consider what we are to become, to ponder the reality that we are invited to become divinized. It's a fancy word that means becoming more like God or sharing the divine nature. In other words, that we become like God. What a mind-blowing thing to think about, that we are called to this incredible experience of becoming this unified with the Lord. So we're to be configured to Christ, we're to be united to Him, which means in this life that we face the cross, right? That we experience the cross at times. But it also leads to being transfigured into an image, an icon that is pointing to Christ, not just pointing to Him, but that Christ begins to dwell in our very selves. In reality, at every Mass, we have the opportunity to be with the Lord, right? And the tabernacle is here with us. On the altar, He will be consecrated in the bread and the wine and become present to us and come into our bodies in the Eucharist. As Catholics, we are very particular about what we say in regard to the Eucharist, what it means, when we should receive it, and so forth. It's not just a rite, it's a gift, right? It's a gift that God gives to us. It's not something that we are owed. We have certain guidelines about when someone should receive. It's not that Jesus needs protection, right? He certainly doesn't need protection. The God of the universe doesn't need protection from us. Rather, we do this out of a reverence and respect, and we do this with an awareness that if Jesus is truly present in the host, then we want to be prepared, and we want everyone to receive Him to be prepared for that. Much like a bride wants to be prepared to meet her groom, we too should want to be properly prepared to meet Christ when He comes to us in the Eucharist. Now, why are we asked to abstain from the Eucharist if we haven't fasted, or if we are maybe not in a state of grace, you know, having serious sin on our soul or something like that? It's because we want to be properly disposed to receive the Lord. Receiving the Blessed Sacrament should not simply be a perfunctory action. Rather, it should be something that we properly prepare ourselves for and are fully engaged in. Now, one of the questions that is often asked by Catholics and non-Catholics alike is, why do we not have open communion? This idea that, or this practice that whoever wants to come forward to receive can receive communion. Many other churches do this, right? So why do we not do that as Catholics? Well, first of all, other Christians have different beliefs about what the Eucharist is or what communion is for them. Many Protestants, many denominations fall in the realm of sort of a symbolic or a spiritual presence that communion represents. But for us as Catholics, receiving the Eucharist is about being in full communion not only with Christ, His Church, and also the body of Christ around us. So if I have put myself outside of communion with Christ and His Church through choices, whether it's a sinful action that I've done that needs to be confessed, or perhaps I'm living a lifestyle that is incongruent or incompatible with the Christian faith. So then I need to repair this breach that has been caused by my choice before I can present myself to receive the Eucharist. And this is difficult, right? It's a challenge. It's a difficult thing. It means that we need to examine ourselves every time we come forward. It means a lived relationship with Christ and His Church, rather than just having everything our own way and our own terms. Now we might feel uncomfortable with that, right? We might feel rejected. We might even feel as if the Church or Christ is saying, you're not welcome here. And to be honest, that's often, if people haven't heard that before, that's often what the first reaction might be. That I'm not welcome here, that this isn't for me. But we're not saying that they can't come. What we're saying is, you may not be ready yet. We want you to receive the Lord. Certainly Jesus wants to come into us, but the simple fact is, you may not be ready yet. And if we pretend that someone is ready when they actually are not, how will they ever be moved to make a change that will bring about true union with the Lord, with Christ and His Church? That's what we desire most of all. The reality is, we put requirements on all kinds of things as a society, right? We have to go through driver's ed training, you have to go through a driver's test to get your license. You know, we have a drinking age, we have grades that you need to get into certain schools or get different programs and those kind of things. Why then is it such a strange thing that we have an examination that we routinely should engage in before we receive the Eucharist, or before we invite someone into fellowship with us? All are truly welcome, that's certainly true, but not on their own terms. They must discern the body and blood of Christ and have a Catholic belief and practice. We hear in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord." So we want to be careful about what we're receiving, that we truly understand. There's an internal and an external component of this examination that we should do. If we're Catholic, then we are responsible for examining the state of our souls, right? That's our responsibility, to see if I'm ready to receive. This is up to the individual. Unless we have made some public statement of rejection of the faith or are living some notoriously evil life, an example would be like someone who works at Planned Parenthood or something like that. If we've done something like that, then maybe it becomes more of a public thing, and then it's an external examination, not just an internal one. But typically for Catholics, it's an internal thing. Am I ready to receive? Have I placed myself in a position and a state of mind that I can truly receive the Lord? The external examination is simply recognizing for someone, are they Catholic or not? If someone isn't Catholic, then they haven't really placed themselves in union with Christ and His Church, and thus, until that's completed, that's been taken care of, they shouldn't really present themselves to receive communion. Now, it's no secret that many people receive the Eucharist when they probably should not. But sometimes it occurs through no fault of their own, right? Or maybe they have some kind of invincible ignorance, meaning they couldn't have known. It wasn't their fault. These first communions, right, happen all the time. At Masses where we have a mixed crowd, like funerals or weddings or those kind of situations. So if we bring a friend or we know somebody who's coming with us, it's a good thing to try to explain to them what our teaching is, what we believe. And the priest should be aware of that too. You know, I try to make those kind of announcements when that kind of situation is present. But sometimes, despite our best efforts, we don't always communicate the best, or we don't get it out there the way that they would understand it, and they see everybody else go up, and they think, this is what we do, and so they just come forward. And, you know, if that's the situation, we shouldn't lose sleep over that. You know, again, the Lord doesn't need our protection. He's capable of taking care of Himself in those situations. If, however, this happens knowingly, that is, a person knows what we believe and decides to disregard it, that is when they bring judgment upon themselves and when we might need to step in at some point and just talk to them. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says, "Let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if anyone eats or drinks without discerning the body, eats and drinks judgment upon himself." So we don't want that for our brothers and sisters. So what can we do if we find ourselves unable to receive? Whether it's a reoccurring thing, you know, a lifestyle where I put myself outside of communion with the church, or just once in a while kind of thing. Or perhaps we know someone who's regularly coming to Mass, but they're not Catholic. What can we do for them? What can we offer them? Well, there's a practice that we talk about in the church. It's a long time thing. It's been a spiritual practice called spiritual communion. It's an act of spiritual communion in expressing our desire to be united with the Lord in the Eucharist by recognizing that at this time, for whatever reason, it's not possible for me to receive Him, but that I have this great desire to be united with Him. This can be done at Mass. It can actually be done outside of Mass. So like, if you're not able to go to daily Mass, if you want to experience that, you can take some time each day and do a spiritual communion. Or you can do it, you know, in adoration or that kind of thing. For those who have a genuine hunger for the Eucharist, for those who desire to meet the Lord, but can't receive because of they aren't Catholic or some other state is going on, this is a great alternative. St. Thomas Aquinas once defined spiritual communion as an ardent desire to receive Jesus in the most holy sacrament in lovingly embracing Him as if we had actually received Him. So it's kind of using the imagination, but also just reaching out to the Lord with a sincere desire. And today, as we commemorate this great feast of the Transfiguration, may we grow in our longing to be configured to Christ And may we hunger for him in the Eucharist in such a way that it helps us to overcome any obstacle that would keep us from completing that union with him. I'll finish with a prayer written by St. Alphonsus Liguori. It's an act of spiritual communion. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the Holy Sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you.